Okay, welcome to the final business meeting of the New England Council for 2009. Brief reminders, please silence your cell phones. I try to take a break about every 90 minutes or when it appears necessary for the council. We've got an agenda that's pretty aggressive these next 2 days. You'll notice that reports is not the first thing we're going to deal with today. The first thing we're going to deal with is priority setting for next year. Before we get into that, I wanted to ask Dana Rice if he'd come forward. Dana?
As you know, Dana left the council in August, and we have a typical plaque for Dana, and the plaque reads, "Dear Dana, the New England Fishery Management Council and staff extend their best wishes as you conclude 7 years of service to the fishery management process. During this time of dramatic change and difficult decision-making, you have always contributed through your common-sense approach and sage advice, skills no doubt honed by your many years in the fishing industry. Finishing Bill Brennan's term in 2002, you were appointed to two more consecutive terms, during which time you chaired the always interesting Dogfish Committee, including a stint as our representative to the Mid-Atlantic Council, met the challenge of chairing the SBRM Committee, and served diligently on the Habitat Herring, Scallop, Monkfish, Research Steering, Whiting, and Red Crab Committees. It is a record of service that you have helped us complete many more important and necessary management actions, and we are most grateful for all your hard work. We will miss your steadiness and sense of fairness, but we are sure you will not miss the long commutes to our meetings. Please tell Barbara we appreciate her help as well, as you have juggled so many meetings over the years. We wish you both the very best as you embark on new adventures in the future. You may now have time to do so. Many thanks for all your hard work and commitment. With warm regards, John Popolato, Chairman."
Okay, thank you. We have one other housekeeping item. I'll turn it over to Pat Kirkle.
Okay. David Preble was not at our September meeting, and he is a reappointed member of the New England Fishery Management Council. And so we're going to do the oath of office all by himself. He's going to do the oath of office all by himself. But he's got a nice booming voice, so it should be fine. So, David, I want to ask you to stand and raise your right hand. And then I'll read short pieces of this and ask you to repeat after me. "I, David Preble, as a duly appointed member of a regional fishery management council, established under the Magnus and Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act, hereby promise to conserve and manage the living marine resources of the United States of America by carrying out the business of the Council for the greatest overall benefit of the nation. I recognize my responsibility to serve as a knowledgeable and experienced trustee of the nation's marine fisheries resources, being careful to balance competing private or regional interests, and always aware and protective of the public interest in those resources. I commit myself to uphold the provisions, standards, and requirements of the Magnus and Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act, I and other applicable law, and shall conduct myself at all times according to the rules of conduct prescribed by the Secretary of Congress, Commerce. This oath is freely given and without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Okay, we can get back on agenda. We'll move right into approval of the council's management priorities. Go right to Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a enclosure in tab 1, number 11, and it's a matrix that is a draft straw man priorities. And I'll go through that real quickly. The executive committee met on November 12th, last Thursday, to discuss priorities and to develop a straw man to bring to the council this morning. The approval of priorities would require a council vote. It's a council action. The executive committee felt that with ACLs and transferability of overages and AMs and catch shares, that a more holistic approach to planning and development in our plans is most critical as we move forward in this new era of ACLs and catch shares. So the executive committee decided to take a more holistic approach to our FMP development and look towards areas where we can streamline where possible. First thing they decided was to have one committee, an ACL, AM, and spec committee, to continue the development of Monkfish Amendment for ACL and AMs, the Whiting Amendment for ACL and AMs, and the Red Crab Amendment for ACL and AMs, have all that development under one committee. And this committee would also do the amendment for ACLs and AMs, plus do the spec packages for 2011, 12, and 13. The work is expected to be done for Monkfish and Red Crab, ACLs and AMs and specs. The work will be voted on in June and submitted in September. Whiting is behind because we're going to wait for a data pool workshop to get the exact data and update assessment for Whiting, but nevertheless we can develop the AMs and ACLs and just plug in the numbers in December of 2010. So that would be one committee that would do that. And in September, when the group is done with ACLs and AMs for and specs for Monkfish and Red Crab, then the group could work on Monkfish sectors and IFQs. In scallops, it's pretty much similar to what we've been planning all along, a scallop committee that would continue Amendment 15 to set ACLs, AMs, capacity reduction, leasing, new overfishing definition and open area trips, which we're working on now. And also, there would also be another action in 2010 to prepare Framework 22 with 2011 and 12 measures. And there also may be some measures to include a revisit or another visit to the yellowtail allocation and also yellowtail bycatch reduction measures. So in developing that scallop committee, the chair will consider adding groundfish folks to that scallop committee, or not so much groundfish folks, but that committee itself would be wrestling with yellowtail allocation as well. Habitat committee would continue the omnibus amendment and then develop the early planning efforts for ecosystem-based fishery management plans, including looking at goals and objectives and things like that for an ecosystem plan. Again, we're waiting for our SSC to give us a report on their habitat workshop and also to continue to give us advice on how we should develop an ecosystem plan. Herring Committee is pretty much the same. Would continue Amendment 4 to set ACLs and AMs, and then would prepare Amendment 5 to include monitoring, mackerel, bycatch, criteria for access to closed areas, and a new requirement to look at protection of spawning aggregations of herring. That last requirement there is new. The Research Steering Committee would continue to steer research. And then this is a new committee where, again, executive committee felt like we needed a more deliberate planning. We needed a more holistic approach to catch shares and transferability among fisheries. How do we transfer among sectors, between sectors and IFQs, between sectors and day at sea programs? There's a number of issues that the executive committee felt we needed a year's worth of planning to more holistically look at catch shares and the issues and recommendations of certain things. And this interspecies committee will consist of the chairs of the other committees and also the leadership of the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council. So the interspecies committee would, one, develop goals and objectives, issues and recommendations for catch shares and community fishing associations in those FMPs which are determined most appropriate. Second, develop goals and objectives, issues and recommendations to improve monitoring in all FMPs. And third, develop goals and objectives, issues and recommendations to consolidate plans, including an examination of joint plans with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council. The Interspecies Committee also agreed to look at running this committee a little differently, where they would meet jointly with the AP chairs and vice chairs and explore breakout sections, sessions similar to the workshop we had with committee members, APs, and the public to brainstorm issues and better address the top three tasking from the Interspecies Committee. Now, the logical question is, okay, after this year's worth of planning, identifying goals and objectives for catch shares and community fishing associations, et cetera, how to transfer among fisheries, between fisheries, the logical question is, then what? And the hope is that at the end of this year's worth of planning, when we do priorities for 2011, then these goals and objectives and issues and recommendations would be handed off to a new committee that would begin to develop the action in 2011. And the last priority was the SSC committee to continue to support the SSC activities, such as recommending ABC and the SSC making other recommendations in our fishery management development process. Note that this priority, straw man priority for 2010, contains no ground fish action whatsoever. We would use those resources to support the Interspecies Committee. And there's no specific catch share action for whiting. Again, we're looking at a more holistic approach rather than a piecemeal approach to catch shares. And there'd be no limited entry for whiting. The idea is that if the Interspecies Committee and the Council agree that whiting should be a catch share program, then there's no need to develop limited entry. You can assign quota based on qualification criteria and skip the step of limited entry. The monkfish catch share development will start in Amendment 16 after Amendment 5 is submitted in 2010. And that also is a recommendation of the Executive Committee. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, questions? Sally.
Two questions. One is on the habitat amendment. I understand why you would say continue work on the omnibus habitat amendment, but it's several years overdue. So I'm just wondering if there was discussion that the executive committee had about timing for this long overdue completion of the Habitat Amendment.
There was discussion, and we're waiting on our 2010 budget to see if we can hire additional resources to help out, or once the council is done with approving whatever the priorities for 2010, then I'll sit down with staff and assign resources. But it was noted that the Habitat Amendment is taking longer than normal. We did discuss the fact that the PDT has been intimately involved in developing a model, which is a little different than the way we normally do things. PDTs usually start their work from a model and do analysis, but it's been delayed with the development of a new tool to help us with Habitat, and that's been taking some time, but we're close to getting that final approval, and I think things will move ahead once that model is approved by the SSC for use.
So was there a discussion about having that completed in 2010?
There are timelines in the binder that has it completed in 2010.
A second question about the SSC, and I'm sure we'll get into this throughout the rest of today, but did the executive committee, or what was the discussion about the supporting a more robust process than we're kind of getting up to speed with now with the SSC and being able to have ample time given to the SSC for consideration of the questions that are given to them, and likewise ample time for the council or committees to be able to digest the feedback that's provided. Was that a part of the support of the SSC?
We had a lengthy discussion of that, and we'll continue that under executive committee reports when we get to reports.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Regarding the section that deals with the Interspecies Committee, that will include the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council leadership as well as members. I believe at the Executive Committee we highlighted the fact that the Interspecies Committee would likely involve state directors, those representing state fisheries officials. So with that said, I would suggest that number three in the action, the list of actions, be modified somewhat to reflect some recognition of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. And I would suggest that to do that, we could add language after MAFMC in number three that would read, and complementary management with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. That way there would be some very formal recognition of the importance of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, specifically as it relates to our planning exercises, certainly spiny dogfish, Atlantic sea herring being two notable ones, and especially sea herring in light of what we're about to do here this morning, and of course what we'll be doing in the next few months and in a few years.
Yeah, David, that reflects the conversation we had at the executive committee, and I've asked Paul to add that language in. It's on the board as well. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple of concerns, but I guess the first one on the ACLAM spec committee, it appears to be a compression of monkfish, whiting, and red crab. And the monkfish work, as Paul pointed out, is pretty much done. And I don't know if you could maybe clarify the rationale behind going in this direction a little bit.
Yeah, again, the whole idea of this was that the executive committee felt that it's time we started looking at things more holistically. Maybe monkfish, whiting, and red crab don't fit the mold of strong interactions among each other. However, they felt it was time that the committees look at things more holistically. Monkfish is no further ahead of the game than red crab, and whiting is the one that's really slower. And so what the chair could do is make the ACLAM spec committee have members that have been involved with monkfish and red crab. But the idea is to look at more than just one plan and have a single species focus, that the council and committee should start looking more holistically about interactions and a more ecosystem approach. So so it wasn't felt that monkfish was any further along than red crab. Whiting, there's also been work done, but we have to wait for the science for December. But the idea is to start having one committee looking at several things, and monkfish and red crab are scheduled for votes in June, same time frame.
Well, I think the idea of being more holistic on ACLs and AMs is a good one. We've been developing them, you know, by species committee, and I think the terminology has gotten confusing to some people, so I do see some value in that. But having specifications, I mean, looking forward, would you envision that we would have one committee that was going to deal with specifications for each of the FMPs on a semi, you know, on a whatever basis, 2 years or 3 year spec packages? Because to me, the details that we're going to discuss today in Herring, you know, there's a lot of detail. Having one committee that has to do that for all FMPs, I just can't quite envision that. So I guess my question would be, is that what the vision is for this committee as it moves forward?
No, I think this committee is an ad hoc committee for this year. The question of whether we're going to have one subgroup of the council do all of the work, ACL work or spec work, every 3 years, that's not the vision sitting here today moving forward. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one question on the Monkfish Amendment 6 and the proposed timeline there. Note that it suggests that that development would be after September of 2010, and I just wanted to get a sense of whether you expected to do any development between now and then on that action, or if all work on that would be postponed until that point in time. Our interest in this, obviously, is sort of from a collaborative standpoint, in that I think we're going to have to do a lot of work together with the constituents to try to get a sense of what their concerns and preferences are going to be, and I think we'll probably have to lay a lot of groundwork on that in the course of developing such an action. But I didn't know if you envisioned doing any of that type of you know, front-end work between now and then, or if that was all going to be envisioned for the fourth quarter and beyond of 2010.
I mean, the discussion at the executive committee meeting had us picking up that issue with monkfish after Amendment 5 is in the can. So probably the fourth quarter. David?
Yeah, I can understand the rationale for where you propose to go, but I really don't think you should drop limited access for whiting. Because even if you set it up as a catch share, IFQ, ITQ, well, however it ends up being a fishery, it's still some form of limited access. And determining the break-off points for different categories of permits, incidental catch, what's assigned to the recreational fishery, things like that, still needs to be done. And to wait a year to even begin that process, I mean, this fishery is the only open access fishery you have left. It's vitally important now to a number of people that have been de facto tossed out of groundfish because they went whiting fishing. And the longer it stays open access, the more the chance is that a bunch of boats will move into the fishery, overfish it, and by the time we get around to acting on it, then not only will, you know, the boats that rely on it have to be cut, but the new entrants will have to be cut as well. So I think, I would suggest that you still at least keep a whiting committee going with dealing with the actions of limited access and coming up with you know, classes of permits, much like was done in Heron, to have ready to go with whatever kind of plan you want to put in to actually manage the fishery after the specs come out.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Much of the discussion we had last week was concerned workloads and timetables, and the executive committee did make the decision to put monks up above the bar and to continue with whatever the next action is going to be called. And to actually to dovetail that with the Interspecies Committee work, it directly involves the MID, and to hopefully front load the work on the Interspecies Committee and apply it to what we can do with monks when we get around to that at the middle of the year.
Mary Beth.
Paul made a reference to scallops and the issue that we are wrestling with yellowtail bycatch in the scallop fishery. And I think it is something that we do need to address. I think you, Mr. Chairman, in our last meeting commented on the need to address this issue. And I'm just curious where in this list of priorities that action would fall.
If you look at scallops, committee will address groundfish issues, and then item number two, measures including yellowtail allocation and bycatch reduction measures. So the thinking there is, rather than keeping a groundfish committee going, we would augment the scallop committee so that it was sufficiently staffed to deal with that issue at the scallop committee level.
So, I mean, we recognize that that needs to be a joint action, and you're envisioning that that can happen within this structure.
Paul.
Yeah, I think that what we discussed was that the best solution might be a bycatch sector, that the scallop committee would develop a sector so that there could be transferability among groundfish sectors and a sector of scallops. That might be the best solution. But any solution that deals with catch shares in transferability will be developed under interspecies committee. And it's going to take some time to do that, to do it right. There was discussion how urgent it is to come up with the right numbers for groundfish and scallop, and you just can't get there. It just takes time to develop the, you know, catch share programs if that's the best solution. And if it isn't the best solution, it's just agreeing on transferring a certain amount of quota. That can be done under the scallop committee. Again, it would be a scallop committee. But we've got to get out of this. We talked about the scallop committee would be a committee that would have groundfish interests and scallop interests, and they would wrestle with that allocation issue in 2010 with a solution other than a catch share solution. The catch share solutions would be done under interspecies committee and then further developed in 2011.
You know, I'm sorry, but that kind of confused me a little bit more. I think that we do need to have some kind of action to deal with the issue. But now it sounds like two different committees are going to deal with the issue. And how those two different committees come together, I'm getting a little confused by. I have some, you know, the Interspecies Committee, I think, has value. I'm not sure that developing broad goals and objectives is really what we want that committee to spend a lot of time on. I mean, if you look back, we had a committee in the past for sector policy, so we have sector policies, and it seems like that as groundfish sectors developed, you had to, like, change the policy to get it to where you wanted to go. So I'm a little concerned. I mean, when we had our catch share workshop, one of the things that a take-home message that I got was that each fishery is unique, and that you need to address each fishery. You know, the differences between dealing with 20 boats in herring and 800 boats in groundfish and 300 boats in scallops are all very different. The goals and objectives to those programs, I think, need to be different. The communities that are impacted are very different. I just am a little reluctant to endorse a committee that spends a lot of time developing goals and objectives that are supposed to address all of our FMPs. I do endorse the having the committee, but as far as what tasks that committee takes up, I would hate to see them spend a lot of time on that particular topic. I've sat in on so many discussions on the development of goals and objectives that take forever and then kind of shelved and you move on. I don't know if other people have thoughts on that.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, Mary Beth's confusion on this issue is understandable. I believe that the executive committee's decision to recommend to the full council action number one under the Interspecies Committee was influenced by the fact that we should have in our hands very soon, if not 2 weeks ago or whenever, the imminent release of the national catch-share policy in draft form for us to comment on. And I believe our thinking was that it was likely that national catch-share policy, once it's in its final form, would provide us with, an umbrella policy that would be very useful for this interspecies committee to develop goals and objectives for catch-shares in the different FMPs, where, again, catch-shares would be most appropriate. That's a decision to be made down the road. But at least the interspecies committee would take that task on and provide this council with perhaps a more efficient way to review and to determine the best way for us to eventually implement or assist the service and apply that policy.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think I heard Paul correctly say that there's no groundfish committee activities prioritized for 2010. And I don't see how the scallop committee is going to take up some of the groundfish issues that are going to arise as a result of Amendment 16 in the interim rule. And I'm very concerned that there's going to be no vehicle for the council to address some of the unintended outcomes of our momentous change in groundfish management, as well as some of the known issues that we have that we tabled for potentially an Amendment 17, things like large areas close to the possession of winter flounder that will prevent access to winter flounder stocks on George's Bank, things like that. And I'm just very concerned that we're going to drop the ball on groundfish at a time when we can't afford to drop it. And there's going to be things that we need to address as a result of what happens on May 1. And I don't see how that's going to happen in this list of priorities.
Yeah, Mark, we did discuss that the need to have, the groundfish committee address issues associated with after May 1st. But the reality is we're not going to have any data to really do anything. So that, the time would be better spent instead of reacting would be to let the data come into place between May and January 1st of 2011, and then maybe have an action in 2011 that the priority to support interspecies and do the detailed planning about looking ahead holistically about how do we transfer quota in overages to different fisheries and how do we allocate yellowtail and with the scallop industry when one is on days at sea and one is on catch share. All those issues need to be addressed holistically under interspecies so you don't have a piecemeal approach to every plan doing their own thing. And so the executive committee felt it was better to support interspecies than to address groundfish issues because we wouldn't have the data to support any management until 2011.
I'm not convinced, I guess. There are some things we know that are happening right now that we don't need data that need to be addressed, like access to George's Bank and trying to get home through an area where there's no possession of winter flounder.
Jimmy?
Yeah. I, too, have, thought about this. I sat at the executive committee, and I have a problem with the vote. This, and I stated it at the meeting, that the holistic approach with such unique fisheries, to me, is not going to be very productive. And I also tried to have us put some attention to this scallop groundfish yellowtail issue because I know that it's going to be a major issue in the next year or so, that somebody's going to have to pay a lot to continue fishing. A, either the scallop fisheries get shut down prematurely and we lose a lot of money, or the groundfish fisheries get shut down and we lose a lot of people. So that's what's going to happen if we don't do something. And With that in mind, I'm going to make a motion that we put above the line a joint scallop groundfish action for the specific issue to address the yellowtail issue and come up with the necessary action to allow groundfish sectors to transfer yellowtail ace to newly formed scallop yellowtail bycatch sectors. That would be and that's the end of the motion. And again, it's a single action, single issue motion to address something that we know. We know this is going to be an issue.
Seconded by Dave Preble. Discussion. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this motion. I think it sort of clarifies for me how we're going to move forward. And we know it's an issue. It's an issue today. It's an issue that's going to, be problematic this year. It's going to be problematic next year. We're going to talk about scallops tomorrow and some kind of allocation of yellowtail. Even if we gave the scallop fishery 100% of their historical percentage, it's not enough. I mean, it's a huge problem. So I think it's very definite this way. It makes me feel much more comfortable than sort of two different committees discussing it. I think we can do this.
Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at this in the context of the proposed priorities for the scallop committee, I think the council's and the committee's ability to deal with this problem is going to be fairly limited with what's proposed for 2011, that is Framework 22. In other words, it does include bycatch reduction measures in that action, but I think the tools that are available to the committee in that framework action are fairly limited. And so it seems that ultimately we will need some sort of structural component to the solution. I think Jim has pointed out the fact that if we don't have that in place, there could be a lot of impacts to both fisheries. And so it seems that having the ability to address this in a more timely manner would give the council a more powerful solution to the problem. I think it'd be constructive to have this on a timeline that would speed it up, because otherwise it sounds like the action wouldn't be developed until 2011, and then you're looking at a fix that goes in place for the 2012 fishing year. And I guess I would be concerned if we're going to have an allocation that's limiting on the scallop fishery of yellowtail and there's no structural fix for that, then I think we might have a lot of impacts that we wouldn't be able to mitigate in the 2011 fishing year.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I stated at the executive committee meeting, I supported this concept. I think our discussion there was that it was likely that we couldn't get this done in any sort of quick fashion. I still support the concept, because I agree with Jim that this is a problem we're going to face. I think we're facing it today. I don't think it's something down the road. I think, there are other issues we're going to discuss about it that are current. So the one concern that I have with the motion, the way it is written, is that it presumes that the only way to deal with this is through sectors. And they're in fact, and I don't disagree that wouldn't be a viable way of doing it, but we might come up with something else. This says it. You got to do it through sectors, and I have some concerns over that.
Sally?
I support this motion. As we'll discuss tomorrow, the framework that's in the works right now and that we'll be concluding tomorrow for scallops, we've struggled with trying to figure out what a solution is for 2011 to deal with yellowtail, and it's pretty unsatisfactory to this point as far as a long-term fix. I mean, it's barely satisfactory, I think, for 1 year. So this would be a way, as Rick pointed out, to provide the actual structure that's needed to come up with a more longer-lasting solution. And I also agree with what Rip said as far as making sure that we're considering both aspects of the equation for bycatch reduction measures as well. That's an absolute must in my mind. Other part of the equation is the executive committee recommended. So I'd ask if the maker of the motion would consider adding that to make sure that it's clear that both aspects of addressing the yellowtail problem are brought to the table if this were to pass, both the potential for sectors and bycatch reduction measures.
I'll just lay out the purpose. The reason why I structured the motion the way it was is that I would like to see this something that can happen in 12 months. And that if we start to get into the other bycatch things and issues, then it'll take longer than 12 months, 12 or 18 months. And that if we keep it narrow in scope, directed, we have a chance to get it done. If we broaden it to other bycatch issues, I think it's going to take us too long. And I think that the best way to deal with bycatch is to somehow hold individuals in a fisheries responsible. We know that's the best way, and the way to do that is through some kind of scallop bycatch or sector for yellowtail. So I'm a little reluctant to add much to this because of the need to not, you know, we always say we're hanging things on a Christmas tree. If it turns into a Christmas tree, it's not going to have the effect we need it to have. So somebody's always free to amend it, but I think for now I'd just as soon leave the motion the way it is.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. When Jim said the only way this can get done in 12 months, I kind of choked a little bit because this requires an amendment because we don't have catch shares in the scallop plan, any sectors. So we're going to have to do scoping. There's going to be a number of issues to, are we going to limit sectors and scallops to just bycatch of yellowtail? What are the ownership criteria? How many boats can belong to one sector? There's a number of issues that have to be scoped for. What we're doing is, again, piecemeal approach that we're limiting to only sectors. And instead of doing holistic planning under interspecies to come up with the best solution across all plans, we'll be doing a two-year action here minimum. And then I do want you to know that this probably can't be 12 months. And the other thing is that then under interspecies, you know, I had intended to use the groundfish staff to do all the detailed planning and interspecies. So interspecies then could do one general thing rather than three detailed things. Because, you know, we'll have to go back to using the supervisor of the technical staff, Chris Kellogg, to support the interspecies committee, and they certainly couldn't do four things there. They'd do one thing in a general way, as opposed to doing four things specific, holistic approach, in my opinion. So there were two things. One, this needs an amendment, and it probably won't be 12 months. It'd be more like 2 years. And the second thing is that interspecies would have to be changed because of resources.
Terry?
I'll still take a bite at this. Thanks for that, Paul, but I still support this motion. I think it complements, like, moving the monkfish above the bar. The intended work of the Interspecies Committee, much of the discussion we had last week revolved around what are we going to do about monks, skates, groundfish, and scallops all together. And by having something other than an academic thought process move ahead, we might possibly begin to deal with some of the problems we know that exist right now. And I sympathize with the workload issues, but we've got a big problem here that is that I think we need to begin working on much sooner than later.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I support this motion for the same reason. Also, there's just one small wording change I think needs to be made. It should be joint scallop ground fish action for the specific purpose of addressing the yellowtail issue. Sure, it's clear.
Yeah. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having listened to the discussion, I still have, and I understand, you know, Jim's concerns on this, but I still would like to see it broadened out just beyond the sector concept as a mechanism to do this. So I would make an amendment to add at the end of it, or other catch share mechanisms.
The second. Seconded by Mark Alexander. Discussion. Frank.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that this probably won't get done in 12 months, but the problem is if we don't start it now and we wait till next year, if this is going to take 2 years and we don't start it now, we're looking at a three-year process. So I think we've got to get it started sooner than later.
Jimmy.
Yeah. The motion to amend would be okay if we could figure out a way to state that it, as long as it didn't get into, you know, that could be accomplished in a timely manner or something. Because if you get into ITQs, I mean, we're talking 5 years. So it somehow we need to have something in there that says we're not talking something that's going to take 5 years. We're going to do this in the minimal time absolutely possible. And so I don't know how to build that into it, Rip, but that's the thinking anyway.
Well, if we decide to go down this road, deal with this one specific issue, I would expect or request that whatever committee works on this needs to stay very tightly focused and communicating back with the council regularly, not, we had a few discussions, I don't have any motions to bring forward, but we're moving in a good direction. That's not going to cut it. It's got to be very tight, and the council needs to be in the loop all along the way. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one additional comment. I understand exactly what you're saying on that. You know, the intent to do this was not that I'm looking particularly at IFQs as the answer, but what I'm saying is there may be something we don't see today that happens tomorrow morning, and it's something we could use. So that's all I'm trying to do.
Anything further on the motion to amend? Sally.
What happened to your earlier discussion about bycatch reduction measures? To the maker of the motion, to the chair.
Jim, the question was, where are you on the bycatch reduction measures?
Well, I think what we're trying to, what I envision is that you're making people responsible for their bycatch. They are automatically going to find bycatch reduction measures. Or they're not, that's the whole idea of it, is if you give a sector X bycatch, they're going to figure out a way to minimize that so that they can continue their fishery without having to keep buying it. I mean, that's the issue. Then the other issue is that they're not always going to be sure they can find somebody to sell it to them from the groundfish sector. So I think it's inherent that there will be efforts by the Scallop Committee to minimize their bycatch. That's the whole idea of it.
Sally, the way I look at this, when the scallop committee under the second scallop under their action for framework 22, that they need to look at bycatch reduction measures for 2011 and 12 in that framework that they're looking at.
Anything further? So pass this motion, still need a motion to adopt the executive committee's recommendation as amended after that. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, in light of what Paul just said, it's now unclear to me as to what the Scarlet Committee will do. As it stands right now, the executive committee is recommending the preparation of Framework 22 for 11 and 12 measures, including yellowtail flounder allocation and bycatch reduction measures. So that's what would happen. But then we have this that, assuming it passes, we would then have to, at the same time, do that framework and an amendment to deal specifically with an issue that's related to the bycatch issues. So it becomes a bit hard I don't see how the Scarlet Committee is going to function well if it's got this framework responsibility and amendment responsibility with sort of overlapping issues. I like the concept, clearly, but at this point I'm not sure how we can do both.
I'll turn to the maker and seconder to comment on that question, provide a little clarity.
Again, if we don't have this action, which is a joint action, aside from what's going on in the Yellowtail Committee, you can decide all day long you want to set up bycatch sectors in the Scallop Amendment Framework 22 in 2011. But if you don't have a joint groundfish action, it can't happen. So what did you do? What did you accomplish? Nothing. So that's why it has to be a joint action specific to this issue. That doesn't say that the yellowtail allocation and the bycatch reduction measures still can't be worked on by the groundfish committee. The scallop committee. Or maybe they can't. Maybe the idea is to give that to this committee, which is and take it out of that measure, because it's going to need a joint action. And if you want to form sectors or any other measure, it can't be done in a framework. So it has to be an amendment. So, I don't think you're going to, if you didn't do this and you just concentrated on the yellowtail allocation and bycatch reduction measures, all you've done is you haven't solved the problem because you haven't allowed the transferability issue to happen. And that takes a joint action and an amendment.
Dave Gith.
I think Jimmy's right. You need the two separate things. I'm sure scholar folks want to reduce their bycatch of yellowtails as much as possible, but it's just like playing football. You need somebody to throw the ball, and you need somebody to catch it. So we need a quarterback and a receiver here. So we need both. We need the joint action that's up here, and we need the scholar committee to keep working on bycatch reduction, because I'm sure the scholar folks don't want to buy yellowtail at the price the groundfish folks are going to want to charge them for. They'd much rather just not catch it. That's the way out. But in the meantime, they've still got to find a way to buy it, or they're going to be shut down. And if we haven't got this action started, I don't know which fishery is going to shut down first. Probably going to be a race to the ruins. But either way, we're going to hear about it in short order when a bunch of boats are tied to the pier and there's a huge economic loss to the nation because somebody ran out of fish.
I think it is going to be a little cumbersome to have those two actions for scallop committee, which are very detailed, and that's more than enough to do for two people, Deirdre and Jess, for a whole year. And then if you add a huge amendment with over a 2-year period, and it is a huge amendment, no matter how you look at it, because of scoping and a new way of doing business, and so many issues will come up about, are we going to limit that scallop sector to just bycatch and all those kind of things. But anyway, I envision that, we can make this work, but it's going to be pretty cumbersome by having, the Groundfish Committee, PDT, primarily doing most of this work, because the scallop workers, they're going to be straight out doing the amendment and specs for 2011 and 12. But we've got to start changing the way we're thinking about having a scallop committee and a groundfish committee, and that doesn't allow the transferability, and it doesn't allow the holistic approach that the executive committee was looking at. Doesn't necessarily mean we can't get it done, but it will be cumbersome without a new way of thinking.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Paul is saying, but at the same time, I think we're going to find in the scallop discussion tomorrow that the current concepts that are on the table for bycatch allocation is simply not adequate. And I expect it's going to be a very spirited discussion tomorrow. And in the meantime, we need something like this as a backstop, and I support this 100%.
Anyone who hasn't spoken? Rodney?
Yeah, I also support this motion. We all know we need this. We've been talking about this for a long time. And it will help both fisheries. It will help the scallop fishery. It will help the ground fishery that needs to get out of the mess they're in. So for those reasons and what everybody says, I also support this motion.
Anything further on the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Now we're on the main motion. Actually, we didn't have a main motion, did we? Mm-hmm. Did we have a motion? Okay. Getting my head back into parliamentary procedures. So now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Dr. Pierce?
Again, just a clarification. The words newly formed seem a bit strange. We don't have newly formed yellowtail, scallop yellowtail bycatch sectors. This particular action would move us forward to develop those scallop yellowtail bycatch sectors. Correct? There's nothing in a... There's nothing that I'm unaware of that would enable us to say we are going to have newly formed, correct? This is something to be fleshed out, to be worked out with all of the nuts and bolts being identified, correct?
Sorry, David. I was in the sidebar at the beginning of your question.
Yeah, newly formed. We suggest that we are about to have those sectors through some action that we've already taken, but that's not correct. This would involve our moving forward to establish scallop, yellowtail, bycatch sectors. I like the way it's referred to, since if indeed sectors are formed through this particular initiative, then it would be consistent with sector strategies. It would be incumbent upon that sector or sectors to come up with strategies to reduce bycatch. Again, on their own initiative to cut down on the take of yellowtail. So that this is just a clarification from the maker of the motion that indeed the words newly formed are perhaps could be deleted.
Jimmy?
He's correct. The wording needs to be fine-tuned a little bit. And I don't know how you do it when we've already had a motion to amend. So, I mean, the words I would use would be instead of newly formed and to allow the formation of scallop bycatch sectors.
I'd accept that as a perfection if there's no objection. Seeing none. Anything further on the main motion as amended? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion that the council accept the draft priorities for 2010 as amended.
Is there a second? Seconded by Terry. Paul Howard, then Doug Grout.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. To go back what the executive committee had envisioned for interspecies, I think with taking away at least a significant amount of resources to do what you just voted on by an amendment, which is going to be very complex because of the same issues we have with common pool with our groundfish sector. What happens to the yellowtail for the common pool of those that aren't in a sector for scallops? A lot of issues. But nevertheless, on interspecies, there's no way now that we can keep that level of effort that was intended in interspecies. And I suggest that the interspecies committee just work on number three, looking at which plans should be consolidated and working with the MID to look at our joint plans now. And as we get to catch shares and stuff, are there some efficiencies that can be made by having, say, joint committees instead of joint council plans and things like that? So I would suggest that only three can be accomplished by interspecies committee.
On this plan, one of the things that I wanted to see if we might be able to incorporate Dave Gaethel's concerns about not pursuing limited access and seeing if amongst the ACLAM specs committee whether they can be given the latitude, if they so desire, to address whiting limited access. It needs to be a motion. I'd like to make a motion that the ACLAM specs committee be given the latitude to develop limited access for the whiting fishery if they so desire.
There a second? Mary Beth, discussion? Dave Gaethel, then Terry.
Yeah. Must be New Hampshire. We must have been reading each other's minds because I was going to make the same motion. I just want to know if he accepts as a friendly to change whiting to small mesh multi-species because it's whiting and red hake.
Seconder?
Yes.
Seconder agree?
I support this motion. I think the whiting committee realizes that ACLs and AMs are the priority for that fishery currently, and we made a referral to the AP to work on the issue and bring it back to the committee. And I think as long as there is the latitude to allow that process to move forward, we should let it. People have been looking for a limited access program for this fishery for a long time, and I don't think it's going to be something the committee is going to take up right away, but I think we should allow the process to move forward through the AP at least.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I like the intent of the motion, but I'm opposed to it because I don't believe that one committee can handle the development of a monkfish cat share program and a development of a whiting cat share program at the same time. I think it's too much to expect 1 year.
If I have an ending.
Well, I guess at this point, with this on the table, if we want to put limited access in whiting, we'll just go back to our original committee structure and call it a day. If that's what the council wants to do. Because that's what we've worked ourselves back into, which is, you know, your choice. Paul?
Karen, do we have a copy of what we presented to executive committee that had status quo committees and actions? That's okay.
So we have a motion on the board to allow the whiting committee, or what's right now termed the ACLAM spec committee, the latitude to develop limited access. Discussion. Rip Cunningham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a process question. This, as it sits right now, we just have two separate motions sitting up there on the board. The second motion should either be a motion to substitute or a motion to amend the original motion.
I'm sorry, I took it as a motion to amend. Your intent was as a motion to amend, Doug?
Yes, and I wanted to say that this is troubling to me that it is putting a damper on the Interspecies Committee development. And I think that was a very important thing. I was hoping, given the fact that this past year we pushed pretty hard on a lot of committees, and thought that we had more than we could handle, that something like that could continue without completely causing the intent of the executive committee's recommendations here to come completely fall apart. So I'd like to see if we can potentially do this without destroying your structure. That's why I didn't make an motion to reconstitute the Whiting Committee. I also have, just as an aside, the same concerns that Mark Gibson has about how we address any issues with groundfish, but I've held off making any kind of motion on that because I wanted to keep this interspecies committee intact and functioning as much as possible.
No, I appreciate that, Doug. I just, you know, the council needs to understand that we have going down the road that we've been going down, and we have very good reasons for doing it. We need to understand that the interspecies committee is going to have very limited impact on our work here at the table. Don't expect much out of it, in my estimation. And the council's, through these motions, is sending a message that it does want to continue to do things on an ad hoc basis, plan by plan, as we currently have them, and doesn't want to look for opportunities or ways to consolidate or create better efficiencies in our planning process and our annual work process. That's my read on the decisions. We have reasons for that. I think what you had put in front of you today that came through the executive committee was an attempt to say we need to start planning for a transition that we all agree we're going to need to make. But I think the series of discussions and amendments that we've made so far today indicate that while we recognize that, we're not prepared to do it yet. That's just my read on what we're doing today. Anything further? Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Terry, I have some concerns about supporting the amendment. To Paul's comment that what we're doing with our previous amendment indicates that the Interspecies Committee wouldn't spend any time on one or two. Quite frankly, I think that number three, the concept of trying to consolidate plans, you know, or having plans work together, is a very important item for us to be working on. And if the Interspecies Committee focused all their time on that, I wouldn't find that troubling at all. So I'm not sure I'm going to support the motion to amend. I would like to see us begin to move in the direction that these set of priorities have sent us.
Anything further?
Mr. Chairman, I think to be clear, I don't see any benefit to having one committee doing all this work, that I think we should go back to the Whiting Committee doing the Whiting work with a single staffer and the Red Crab Committee doing its work and the Monkfish Committee continuing its work, that we're not ready for to take on the challenges, like you said, of having one committee do all this work with a multiple staff. So, I hope that's the intent of this, that we don't have an ACL-AM spec committee that does several things with monkfish and red crab and whiting, that we break it down into three committees doing the three actions.
Sally, then Doug.
I feel like we're thrown in the towel here too quickly. I think the executive committee brought a new approach that I think a number of council members understand the need for being more more holistic in the approach. The motion that passed previously to address yellowtail, I think, is a beefing up of the recommendations that the executive committee brought to us, number two, prepare a framework. So, yes, admittedly, this is something that's going to be more demanding on the staff who are working on scallops, but I'm reluctantly not going to support this in the hopes that we can still retain the very good idea that I think the executive committee brought to us to have one group bringing a number of good minds on the staff together rather than having them each working independently to be working on ACLs, AMs, and specs, and then also being able to support an interspecies committee that is going to be able to do the work that crosses multiple fisheries. One issue that's been highlighted this morning that we have to get a handle on very quickly is dealing with yellowtail. I think it was appropriate that amendment passed so that we don't wait too long and have an even bigger problem than the one that we're going to be wrestling with tomorrow. So I'm not going to be supporting this motion in the hopes that we can retain some of the good ideas for a more holistic approach that the executive committee brought to us, along with prioritizing dealing with yellowtail in 2010. Thank you.
Doug, then Jim.
Well, I'm sorry, Paul, but it wasn't my intent at all to have this separated out into separate committees. I understand as we make this change to a new type of structuring and process that there may be some growing pains that are involved with it. My intent, since we are, in addition to looking at ACLs, AMs, and spec packages for these species, we are also looking at catch shares and sectors and IFQs for monkfish, that at least giving them the flexibility to address limited access in the small mesh fishery is something that I think that could be done. It may be awkward at first, but I think we can do it. And so I'm not going to make any changes, recommendations to split this out into separate committees.
Jim?
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on a couple things. One is what a question of Paul, I guess, is that, and I agree with Rip that the Interspecies Committee, if it just worked on number three, I'd be favorable for that. And my question to Paul is, if this motion passes, can the Interspecies Committee still handle working on number three? Yeah, that would. Sway my way I'm going to vote.
They don't appear to be related.
Yeah, I think the reason Doug crafted this motion the way he did is because, quite frankly, if you're going to set ACLs and AMs in a fishery, you've got to, setting it in an open access fishery is almost impossible to do, especially the accountability measures part, because you have no way of knowing who's going to fish, when they're going to fish, or what they're going to catch. So, I see this as just a logical extension of what we're already doing in this committee. I don't see it as needing a separate committee or anything else. I'm not trying to break up what you've crafted. But to try and move ahead with ACLs and AMs in an open access fishery, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's certainly going to be awful difficult. So that's why I think you should support this motion, because I think it's part of the ACL and AM process, and you have to have it ready to go when you get the ACLs and AMs, which is going to be in December of next year. So, I really think you need to move forward with this and move forward with the Interspecies Committee, doing what it's got to do, which is trying to figure out how to consolidate some of these disparate plans. And I don't see this as undoable. Maybe I'm just used to working 100 hours a week, but I don't see it as undoable.
I'm I could work 150 hours a week, but I need the staff behind me to support me to do the work. And that's really what's driving this. We only have so many people that can do the work, both on our staff at the Science Center level and in the regional office. Those are the constraints. You and I could work day and night to the bone, but we've got to have support. Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to address what you said before about the intent of the council. The council made its intent clear in June when it voted to task the Interspecies Committee with developing ways of consolidating plans. I don't think anybody has stepped back from that, but we find ourselves in the position that John Steinbeck described when he said that he thought that when he was young, he thought that all of his decisions would be between what's good and what's bad. When he got older, he found out that that was not true, that his decisions were between what's bad and what's worse. And that's really the situation we find ourselves in. I am very much in favor of the Interspecies Committee concentrating on task number three and eliminating one and two at this point. It's got to concentrate on number three. We've got to consolidate these plans. We've got too many plans. We've got too many tasks for not enough staff. And that's, to me, that's at the top of the priority list. But at the same time, we've got day-to-day practical issues. The yellowtail flounder is one, and Mark mentioned one that I also want to address at some point, soon rather than later. That is the issue of transiting with the blackback flounder for the southern New England boats that are fishing on George's Bank. That's a very important issue for us in southern New England. So there are a lot of day-to-day things that we just simply can't walk away from, and this is a situation of not choosing what we would like to do, but in some cases choosing what we have to do. And I don't know how to juggle that, but we do have to. We're not going to get anywhere in the long range until we consolidate the plans. At the same time, we seem to be constrained in our ability to do so. And somehow we've got to come up with the way of doing both. I don't think it's a matter of the council wanting to continue down the sterile path of the past. I think we need to do both. Thank you.
Dr. Pierce.
Well, one of the executive committee's responsibilities is to listen to the recommendations of the executive director and his staff relative to workload, and then working within those confines to develop some guidance for the full council as to how we should proceed. With full appreciation of that workload, John just said it. Staff already has many weighty responsibilities, and we can't forget that. And the reason why I can't forget it is I'm reminded of the time when I was chair of the Whiting Committee, which seems like a decade ago, when we discussed Whiting limited entry. And the question at the time was, do we put whiting and limited entry concerns above the line, move sea herring below the line? And after prolonged debate, we kept sea herring above the line for obvious reasons. Now I see that with this motion, we potentially recreate the Whiting Committee, task it with developing limited entry strategies for the whiting fishery. And I acknowledge that's important. However, now I revisit those older issues that seem to be new issues now, and that is if this motion passes, we reconstitute the Whiting Committee with this task, what goes below the line? Does sea herring now go below the line? Does someone else go below the line? And we can't put sea herring below the line. We've already got a very important task to conclude with staff fully devoted to it, or at least I should say soon will be fully devoted to it once the herring specs are done, which we're going to finish up today shortly thereafter. So I have to assume that if this passes, we're going to have a problem with staff needs, staff demands, and we'll have to revisit the issue of what's above the line and below the line, and I would not want this to put sea herring below the line or anything else for that matter that we've already been working on in an above-the-line situation. So as worthy as this motion is, as necessary as it is for us to consider limited entry options for the whiting fishery, in light of the advice given to us by the executive director and his staff, I don't see how we can move forward with what this motion is suggesting we do.
Anything further? Everybody ready for the question and the motion to amend? All those in favor, raise your hand. Six opposed. 11. Motion to amend fails 6-11. I think the maker was Rip on the main motion. Okay. So Rip, seconder was Terry. Jim Adler.
Do we need to clarify that the interspecies committee will be working on item number 3, or is that just will happen by default? And you know, the answer to that will just whether we need to make an amendment to take out one and two.
If this passes, 1 and 2 are dead. Mark.
I don't see how the Interspecies Committee can work on number 3 without considering number 1 and 2. That's two of the biggest issues that they're going to have to tackle and make recommendations for is the potential or the need for some kind of catch share arrangement for some of the FMPs and also monitoring. Monitoring is going to be very important with handling ACLs and AMs. So.
I think that was some of the original thinking that went into why we had a 1, a 2, and a 3. And the discussion will be limited at the Interspecies Committee relative to number 3 without getting into 1 and 2. Dr. Pierce.
Here's where it gets a little bit hairy because the executive director has already expressed concerns about staff demand if we indeed have to include 1 and 2 in addition to 3 in light of the preceding actions that this council has taken. However, as already stated, without 1 and 2, number 3 seems to be a bit of a difficult task to undertake. And frankly, once again, in light of the fact that national policy on catch shares is coming out or is out, wherever it is, in light of the fact that monitoring is becoming more important for this council all the time, especially with catch share management, I can't see how we can drop our numbers 1 and number 2 and just focus on number 3. So the main motion, I don't think, deletes 1 and 2. There was no motion to do that. That was a suggestion made by someone, I guess Paul, but no one agreed with that particular suggestion. At least no one offered up a motion to amend this particular action to delete 1 and 2. So as it stands right now, I think the motion is to adopt the document as amended, and that would mean the interspecies committee responsibilities still would be 1 through 4, recognizing the staff demand and the complications that creates.
Asking the same or making the same statement as Jim, but from the other side. I mean, you're correct. Technically, we did not eliminate 1 and 2, but as you point out, Paul said it would be difficult for us to tackle those issues. I agree with him, but we haven't taken any action to strip the Interspecies Committee's responsibilities.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think the way you both categorized it is fine. I think that the best approach is the expectations that the council should have now about the quality and quantity of addressing those issues, because now it's going to be less staff and we're going to be doing more actions. So you won't get the same, in my opinion, you won't get the same detailed product that you would have got with concentrating with two additional staff on that. So now we'll go back to having one staff on that, and I still think we should address them all, but the expectations wouldn't be that this would be the foundation to move forward. We're moving forward as we're doing the work. Okay, so I think we should keep it just as it is, but the expectations are a little different from my perspective based on resources.
Sally?
So far the one thing that we've changed is the joint groundfish scallop action. That's the one thing that's changed. And we're not saying that the interspecies committee is going to be so limited that they're not going to be able to have any input to council actions, correct? Interspecies committee will still be able to do some of its work, which would be limited by the fact that there's going to be this joint groundfish scallop action. And nothing else so far has been changed, just that one thing, correct?
I think the speed at which the Interspecies Committee can get involved with other actions, we're going to be behind. The Interspecies Committee is going to be several steps behind any of the other committees in terms of getting involved and helping to set policy or make recommendations, just by the very nature of the breadth of the issues and one staff member. That's the trade-off. Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is some nervousness with all of this and what we're tasking the Species Committee with. One way to get around this is to just make a simple change in the organization of the tasking actions for the Interspecies Committee. Make number three just put that down as number one, and at the end of it have it say develop goals and objectives, issues and recommendations to consolidate plans, including an examination of joint plans with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council, comma, which may include A, B, and C, and make 1, 2, and 4 the A, B, and C. It kind of does what you're saying, is that we're going to, in fact, be concentrating on three, but some people want to leave in 1, 2, and 4, and some people don't. So just make it a subsidiary paragraph, and then the Interspecies Committee has the option to do it any way they want to.
Doug?
Question for the chairman and the executive committee. If we approve this motion as amended, we still won't have a groundfish committee. There's not going to be a groundfish committee. It's just going to be where is the amendment going to be taken up, the amended act action?
You're asking about the specific yellowtail amendment?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not going to be the scallop committee, and it's not going to be the groundfish committee. It's going to be a new committee that's tasked and comprised specifically to deal with that issue.
Okay, thank you. And my other question is, if there was some issue that came out with the implementation of Amendment 16 that needed council action without a groundfish committee, would that mean that we'd have to wait till the end of 2010 to start taking that on under this scenario right now?
We would have that discussion at our next available business meeting and make that decision then. You know, we always reserve the right to change our minds, don't we? You know, if it's a big enough issue and there's concurrence, it might be a committee of the whole. In other words, if it's a frameworkable item, we could initiate a framework at the table that day and deal with it discreetly ad hoc and at our next business meeting. Finalize it.
Thank you. It helps me.
Thanks, Doug. David?
Yeah, this would be a question, I guess, maybe for Pat. To Mark Gibson's concern about people being able to transit through the area with no blackbacks, does that take council action to solve that? Or can these are boats coming from Georges. They don't have fish up on deck or anything. I assume the fish are stowed below. The gear's disconnected and tarped. I would think you could just issue some kind of administrative clarification that allows them to transit the area with fish on board as long as the requirements for not having your gear accessible for fishing are met. I'm asking you if that's the case.
Well, that was an interim rule measure, right? The no transit issue? Right. I guess I would ask Tom if he's had half an ear listening to this discussion, whether or not Amendment 16 contains the same provision, if you recall. Somewhere in those 1,900 pages, whether we do anything about it.
Well, it doesn't include a specific provision that bans transiting. I'm not sure the interim action does either. But it does include the zero possession of southern New England winter flounder, which I think what causes the problem. So the question is whether or not someone can fish in southern New England, go catch monkfish, go out to Georges, catch winter flounder, and then transit back to a southern New England winter flounder, southern New England port with Georges winter flounder on board. I believe I was only half listening, but I think that's the crux to the problem here. And so the question is whether you can create or NIMS can come up with some sort of enforcement policy that gives them some assurance that someone is not actually catching the winter flounder in southern New England while they're, you know, that the fish on board in southern New England was caught elsewhere.
I don't know if we've had internal discussions on this. I know the issue's come up, and I just don't know whether we focused on it and what the proposed rule says at this point. So I need to look into it.
Jim Allen?
Yeah, just a comment on that. The comment period for the interim reauthorization of the interim rule is still open, I think, for another week. So people could comment on that and initiate a change.
Anything further? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, just to clarify, the language I suggested about an hour ago, I assume was incorporated into the executive committee suggested actions, and that is the language complementary management with ASMFC. That's in number 3. Okay. Just to make sure it's there.
Number 3 under interspecies, we added that. Anything further? On the main motion, ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous, 17. Paul, anything else under priorities? Okay, we'll take a 15-minute break. When we come back, we'll have the SSC report. ABC, and we also have some committee conclusions that we'll get into later in the day as well. It's been so.